Chapter 15. The Worm in the Rose. The great roses were withering on the stem of chaos. The rose-shaped suns, the rose-shaped planets, writhed and turned black, stricken by a dreadful canker. Everywhere, visions of beauty and harmony erupted into foulness. Pale, glimmering worm shapes sprang from between plant petals, now gone putrescent, turning everything they touched to slime. The once enchanted landscape became covered with wriggling, slivering, rustling masses of noisome, loathsome, insectoid and reptilian creatures. The human inhabitants, with their formerly peaceful natures, became growling brutes, obsessed with hatred for everything living. A glorious example of Zenshin change. The great god's followers all roared their approval. Utter darkness had descended. There was silence. Sergeant Abdazil Magron of the Dark Angels chapter, unable to see in any frequency his helmet had available, felt his captain's gauntlet clank against his armour, steadying him.
"Wait a few moments, Sergeant."
Now his visor was bringing something to his senses. Not light, exactly. No, not light. Blackness that was visible. Black light. No light. A nullity that showed itself. Magron looked overhead. An ebony sun sat in a jet-black sky. A sun that glowed with utter darkness, washing the landscape with negative light. How could such a contradiction be? In that Cimmerian nothingness, Magron could see Captain Abadas, though not in the same way that he had been able to see him before. He could even see the colours of his armour, like enamel glowing dimly from black depths. The city around them glowed in the black light too, but it was changing. The sparkling minarets and elegant belvederes were collapsing and heaving, twisting into ugly grotesqueries, rough-hewn caves and misshapen piles. Darkness entered Sergeant Magron's soul. All in the plaza, both the invading Alpha Marines and the confused mob of defenders had paused, as if frozen, during the Rose Cluster's descent into utter darkness. Now they began to move again. Although Magron had invoked the Emperor in his battle cry, he now forgot even that. Battle rage possessed him. Had no others been present, he might even have launched himself at his captain. The knights and warriors of the city, despite being better armed, were no match for the Alpha Legion Marines, who, in little time, waded in blood, gore, crushed armour and splintered bone as they continued their joyous advance. They disdained to use their bolters, which they left clipped to their holsters. Instead, they restricted themselves to power maces and hammers, all the time emitting a concerted drone of prayer to some unimaginable dark god, a chant which rose and fell, becoming ever more fervent as the slaughter progressed. All Magron could understand of this chant was that it spoke of blood, of death, of crushed skulls, of gifts of carnage to the lord whom they addressed. He would not have known them for Space Marines at all, had Abadas not told him so. But some indistinct sense of honour made him put up his bolter too. A figure confronted him, whose armour was metamorphosized beyond recognition. The helm had become a head of a wrathful, hook-nosed bird, shrouded in thick hair, surmounted by two huge, curlicued horns, with tips pointing forward. The main body of the armour was an embossed mass, damascened with scenes depicting butchery and bloody sacrifice, which somehow seemed able to project itself into the visible darkness like a hologram. A power maul in one hand, a power hammer in the other. The Chaos Space Marine took a step back in confusion at seeing armour that was unmutated and untouched by chaos. Then his maul met Magron's chainsword, and his hammer swung towards the other's helmet. Magron raised an arm to deflect the hammer blow. The strength of the shock on his ceramite vambrace was a surprise to him. He charged, intending to rush in to wreck whatever damage he could with the edge of his buzzing chainsword, and was flung back by an unexpected force. Captain Abadas's voice sounded in his ear.
"Do not call on your dead Emperor, Sergeant. He cannot help you. The Alpha Marines are aided by the Chaos Gods. Call on the same. Call on the Changer of the Ways."
Abadas's words should have been barely comprehensible to the Dark Angel Sergeant, but somehow They were not. Magron knew now the Emperor was dead. He knew that the lofty Chaos Gods now ruled the universe, and that a pact could be made with them. It was as though a tendril had penetrated his mind, like the pale worm shapes that, at the coming of the Rose Cluster's sinister night, were emerging from the slimy landscape. His rage and bloodlust curdled into a manic resolve to call on any power, no matter what, that would help him to triumph. He roared once again at the top of his voice, "Changer of ways! Strengthen me!" This was more than a heartfelt ritual. It was a cry from the soul. A feeling of fresh potency flowed through him. He resolved to see the face of the Alpha Marine who had nearly bested him with demon-assisted weapons. He drew his bolter and aimed a rapid, close-range volley at the bird-shaped helm. The Chaos Marine staggered. The weird helmet cracked, then shattered. The face that stared out at Magron was a bloody skull with round, bulging, bloodshot eyes. It was not a face he could make any sense of, a face without humanity. But inexplicably, Magron found it admirable and even enviable. He fired a single shot which shattered the skinless head. Putrid brain matter, green in colour, spattered in all directions. Slowly, with the majesty of a colossus, the bulky form of the warrior fell. Grimly, Captain Abadas smiled to himself. Sergeant Magron's first step on the path of devotion to chaos had been when he had come floating down unharmed, wafted by some mysterious warp influence onto the surface of that planet. Now he had taken his second, more corrupting step. Fighting in the black light was strange, like fighting in a trance. A dim tumult surrounded Magron. Wheeling around, he searched the darkness for another opponent, another enemy kill. Abadas was wrestling hand to hand with an Alpha Legion Chaos Space Marine, each preventing the other from using his weapons, their power armor whining and humming. Magron strode behind the Alpha Marine and applied his chainsword to where he knew it would be more efficient, the gorget where the helm connected with the trunk of the power suit. Chaos armor was no different. After some resistance, his chainsword broke in and bit deep. The foul Marine's head flew off. Captain Abadas raised his gauntlet in salute. Magron exulted. It did not matter that victory lay with the invaders, who now walked knee-deep in piles of butchered bodies. Battle was glorious. Captain Abadas's calm, incisive voice came to him.
"We have done what we can, Brother Sergeant. We are outnumbered now. Let us withdraw."
Magron did not want to obey him. He wanted to continue fighting till meeting certain death at the hands of the Alpha Marines, just as long as he could take some of them with him. But he still had the discipline of a Dark Angel. He did not disobey a superior brother officer. Both men took their bolters in their gauntlets, letting off scattered shots to cover their retreat. To Magron's surprise, Abadas did not make his way back to his beast ship. He backed towards the edge of the esplanade, and to the slumped and distorted buildings there, which would give good cover should the Alpha Legion pursue them. Magron found it odd to see masonry which had flowed and reformed itself like some uncontrollably cancerous protoplasm. Once, in one of the side streets, the black light became more like ordinary darkness, the glowing ebony orb of the sun out of sight for the moment. He reached out a gauntlet and stroked a wall. It was hard but rough, reminding him of badly poured, unsmoothed concrete. And then, in the blink of an eye, the negative light vanished. A ruddy radiance fell on the ruined city. Moving out of the shadow, they saw that the sun had changed again and was a glaring, bloody sphere. But that was not all. That sun was but a small ball, flanked by two truly enormous figures. Magron stared in total disbelief. This could not be real. It had to be hallucination on his part. Both vast beings were winged, but otherwise were totally unlike one another. On the left, a vaguely humanoid bird-like beast, crested and feathered, beaked and taloned, with plumage of glittering, changing hues. On the right, a majestic, fearful, wolf-faced, triple-horned, man-like thing, its brief armour decorated with skulls, carrying a huge war axe and a lash. Both looked down on the world with hard, shining eyes, which carried cunning, knowledge, and power. It was difficult to estimate the extent of their enormity. If they really stood by the sun, as they seemed to do, then they would have to be extended tens of millions of miles. But it could be they were nearby, perhaps just above the atmosphere, and so only some hundreds of miles in height. Cumbersomely, Captain Abadas was sinking to his knees, as were all the Alpha Marines and the few surviving defenders, faces raised to the twin manifestations.
"Kneel, Sergeant," he barked. "This is not a vision. It is not a projection. It is real."
Magron froze. To kneel before the powers of chaos? What would the Emperor have thought of him?
"Kneel!" Abadas's voice became harsher. "Did you not call on the changer of ways? See how quickly your prayers have been answered. Do not insult the servants of the dark gods."
The dead Emperor receded in Magron's mind as he looked on these examples of the new universe. He realized now that what the captain had tried to tell him was true. Here was power, such as he could never have dreamed of. Slowly, he bent his knees and joined Abadas in homage. The bird's beak opened, and a gigantic purring voice boomed down onto the surface of the planet. Magron did not even ask himself how that voice could carry through the vacuum of space. Such rational questions had no place here. The greater demon's words carried a persuasion and a compulsion that brooked no doubt.
"A great project is afoot. A project for which my friend, the Bloodthirster, and I are in alliance. You are needed, my subjects, my little ones. Come, here is work for you to do."
The demon made a slight gesture with his clawed hand. It was as though gravity had been reversed for the common inhabitants of the city. They went tumbling skywards in a great crowd, kicking and wriggling. At a height of about a quarter of a mile, they disappeared. And not just in the city, although Magron and the others present could not know it. All over the planet and on countless planets of the star cluster, where the two great demons, unimpeded by the normal laws of space and time, were appearing simultaneously. Billions were similarly being dragooned into service in the Lord of Change's forge hells. But not so any champions of chaos. Any traitor marines, any who had received marks of favour. The two demons, friends of convenience, whirled and flew off, their forms dwindling into space. Captain Abadas rose to his feet and pointed an armoured finger to Magron's left shoulder pauldron. There, shining like a gleaming quicksilver, was a sinuous sign which had not been present before, and the Imperial Eagle on his breastplate was gone.
"You have done well, brother. Those are signs that you have been recognized. Serve Chaos with all your heart, and you will receive many gifts."
The Alpha Legion Marines, left with an empty city, were marching, still chanting, back into their cathedral ship.
"They go to continue the war elsewhere," Abadas informed Magron. "It is waged all through the star cluster." "Then were the two beings we saw Chaos gods?" Magron asked, still stunned with the wonder of it. "No, they are greater demons. One an agent of Zench, the other of Khorne."
Magron recalled that these were the names used by the Alpha Marine when challenging Abadas.
"If they are allies, why do their adherents fight one another?"
A short, humorless laugh came from the captain's helm.
"This is not the world you are used to. Everything is arranged differently. When demons converse, their words form a miasma which breaks out into warfare between their followers."
The cathedral starship lifted off and was gone. Now something new was happening to what had been the Rose Planet. Around the ruined city, the curled and blackened remains of the clustered planet petals had still been visible once there was light rearing into the sky. Now they crumbled altogether and vanished. The distorted city, too, collapsed and seemed to bury itself in the ground beneath. Soon there was only a bare landscape, dotted with suddenly erupting volcanoes and lashing trees of some alien kind, all in the bloody glow of the red sun. That, and the products of the recent slaughter in terms of butchered bodies. The Lord of Change's magical influence had left the star cluster, leaving it to revert to its former natural state, as it had been before the onset of the warp storm, known as the Eye of Terror. Except, of course, for its human population, which in some cases replaced the alien populations that had been there before. Captain Abadas looked around him, as though surprised by the change.
"I brought you here to meet someone," Abadas said eventually. "Come with me."
They set out on foot across the barren landscape. As they walked, Abadas began to explain about the Chaos powers.
"There are four main Chaos gods," he said. "One of them you want little to do with, Slaanesh, a god of unbridled sensations and perversion. He is not even connected with humanity, but with an alien race called the Eldar. Zench has the greatest wisdom of all, and is the unsurpassed master of magic. Then there is Khorne, the warrior god. Nurgle is perhaps the strangest god of all to understand, for he spreads disease and contagion, but through him one can learn to endure any misfortune. Each of these great lords has an unknown number of greater demons, which are like lesser gods to do his bidding, as well as ranks of lesser demons, and of course, human champions, who can in time attain the status of demons themselves. Men can become a god, immortal, and with divine power."
Magron hearkened to this account of the Pantheon with fascination.
"The crime of the Emperor," Abadas added cautiously, "was to try to deny mankind this advancement and keep it only for himself." "Which of the four powers do you worship, Captain?"
Magron inquired, after he had let this sink in.
"I do not devote myself to any one, Master," Abadas replied. "It is not necessary. For you, however, attachment to a single god is the quickest paths to the joys and glories of Chaos."
"And which?"
Abadas was silent for a moment, as if ruminating.
"I know your qualities, Brother Sergeant. A warrior of your worth should submit himself to Khorne, the war god. In service to him, you will find fulfillment beyond measure."
They walked for some time in silence.
"Brother Captain," Magron then said, "I beg you, tell me of the last days when, you say, our chapter was all but destroyed."
Abadas hesitated, reluctant to do this, but he decided that prevarication would only make Magron suspicious. He began to mix truth with lies.
"We fought hard, and to the last," he said. "In the end, what was left of our chapter retreated to Caliban, and came under siege by much greater rebel forces. The Emperor was already dead by then."
He paused, genuinely recalling the titanic struggle.
"Such was the ferocity of the battle that Caliban itself was reduced to a fragment, held together only by the defense screens of the Central Fortress Monastery. You will be surprised, Sergeant, when I tell you which chapter led the besiegers."
Magron waited for him to continue.
"The Word Bearers."
For all that his outlook was beginning to change, Magron was shocked to the core. The Word Bearers were the only legion of the Adeptus Astartes who possibly exceeded the Dark Angels in religious zeal. Their very name was a byword for missionary passion. In the Great Crusade, they had brought worship of the Emperor to every planet they conquered, erecting cathedrals and monuments everywhere. This was the first he had heard of their defection. Communications had been disrupted during the rebellion, and news had travelled slowly.
"Yes, those most dedicated to the Emperor were among the first to abandon us,"
Abadas continued somberly.
"A loss of faith, which paradoxically grew out of their religious fervour. The Word Bearers came to realise that the Emperor was not worthy of worship. He was only a man, and a fallible one at that. They now worship the great Chaos gods with the same dedication they once gave the Emperor, completely and entirely."
The two power-armored space marines continued striding over the landscape. Abadas knew that Magron was struggling with himself, but Chaos was aiding him. was helping him to find the way. More help would come soon.
"I hope you find this story instructive," he said after a while.
"Who is it we are going to meet now?" Magron asked.
"A chaplain of the Word Bearers."
While they journeyed, the Rose Cluster's great night slowly returned. The sun turned black, but this time the negative light it emitted mingled with the fiery glow from the numerous volcanoes. The mixture of black and red light was more than usually eerie. Evidently, the demon of Zench, who had created the Rose Cluster, had only interrupted the Rose Cycle in order to make his dramatic appearance. The cycle was now imposing itself anew on the planet's original nature. Hours passed as they made their way across the grumbling landscape. Occasionally, dim, stooped figures, missed by the greater demon's levy, crept by in the distance.
"The chaplain's shrine is not far off,"
Captain Abadas announced eventually. He stopped. A towering shape had come into view. It appeared to be a spaceship, but it was of unusual design. A leaping, streamlined shape. In the black light, streaks of somber colour ran over it. And at its foot, a grisly scene.